It was one of the most tumultuous years the country and the world have ever seen. And yet, as we reported on GeekWire last week, venture capital investments in the United States broke another record in 2020, topping $150 billion for the first time, according to PitchBook and the National Venture Capital Association. In Seattle and across the Pacific Northwest, funding totals came in at $4.4 billion, up 15% year over year, according to GeekWire's tally, which is derived from our running list of startup investments. So what in the heck is going on? My colleague, GeekWire co-founder John Cook, put that question to Mike Davidson, a Seattle-based tech and media veteran who was Twitter's vice president of design from 2012 to 2016, during the recording of our most recent GeekWire podcast episode. This portion of the conversation did not make the final cut, but we found the analysis illuminating, so we're presenting it here as a bonus episode.
One of the stories in the news for us this week was the venture capital numbers came out. And Mike, having been a former entrepreneur who's raised venture capital money, and I know you keep a kind of a close eye on what's happening and in the startup market, the numbers were outrageously big. And I think this is surprising to a lot of people based on the fact that we're in a pandemic, we've got an economic recession, we seem to be tearing each other apart. And yet, boy, the startup and innovation market and the stock market, for that matter, is just humming like never before. Can you provide any sort of thoughts or analysis on why you think that is?
Yeah. I mean, venture capital loves destruction.
It's true.
I mean, they do, right? You know,
yeah.
So, you know, VCs like to always say that they're about, you know, improving the world. And, you know, in many cases they are, but like really where they make money is where there's destruction. Where old things start to crumble and new things replace them, that's where there's money to be made, right? And so I think what we've seen over the last, you know, certainly over the last several weeks, but even over the last few years, and especially the last year with the pandemic, we've seen a lot of old systems that have been around too long that are starting to crumble and be replaced by new things. Telehealth is a perfect example of that, right? Like we have been able to do telehealth for so long. We've been able to do telehealth for a lot longer than we've been able to do telework, right? Like telework, you need actual really high performing video streaming. Telehealth is like, hey, just send me an email and attach a shot of the spot you have on your skin and I'll tell you what it is.
To that point, Mike, you know, going through our story that Taylor Soper, our managing editor at GeekWire wrote, he actually listed the top 10 startups that raised money in the fourth quarter. And number two was, guess what? Virtual primary care startup 98.6 raises $118 million as pandemic sparks demand for digital health tech.
There you go.
So right here in our backyard in Seattle, you're seeing $118 million, nothing to shake a stick at. That's a lot of funding going into that concept.
Absolutely. And they're doing a great job. They're sort of like late stage startup. There's much earlier stage startups too that are, you know, only 5-10 people that are working on this problem. There's everything all the way up to Amazon. I mean, Amazon Care is also trying to solve some of this problem as well. I mean, say what you want about Amazon. Like they are really good at squeezing every last penny out of the supply chain, right? And sometimes this is bad, right? Like you don't really like the idea of a person making handmade goods, squeezing their margin down to like a penny or whatever. But for health related stuff, yeah. I mean, let's squeeze all of the money out of the health insurance industry. Like the health insurance industry should not exist at all. In my opinion. So if Amazon is able to help us get to a world in which we are paying reasonable amounts for healthcare and we are cutting out as much waste, frankly, out of the system and politics out of the system as possible, then that's a good thing. I have a doctor friend, and he's a cardiologist. He told me they've wanted to do telehealth for 10 years at least. And the answer has always been no. And then like, as soon as the pandemic happened, it was like, we're starting on Monday. Telehealth appointment, start on Monday. It just proves all it was a decision that somebody didn't want to make before. And now because of the pandemic, it's forced us to make different decisions. And so VCs love that sort of atmosphere.
There's another component to that though. It's not just the company, in my opinion, that's saying, no, we're not going to do it. The consumer has kind of been forced to like, you know, do it as well. I mean, there's no other real choice for them. So there, you got two things going on.
Yeah, but I think consumers have always wanted that though, don't you? I mean, like
some, I mean, my dad who's 82 doesn't want it, but he's been forced to do it to some degree.
Well, put it this way. You've always wanted the ability to do it, right? Like there are some doctor's appointments where you're like, yeah, I actually want to go in and see the doctor for this.
Right.
But there are other ones where you're like, this is just, I just have like a little thing on my arm that I want him to look at.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I mean, I've heard a lot of different theories on how this has been described and why we're seeing this influx of capital. But I think that's a really good description on the destruction that's happening and why it's creating new opportunities.
Yeah, there's also plenty of other reasons, right? I mean, there's nowhere else to put your money, for one, right? You know, so people that are used to investing in bonds and yielding 5% are now faced with 1% yields, right? And so they're like, well, I'm not earning anything there, and you don't earn anything on your cash either. So like, hey, you know, why don't I just throw some money in venture capital, right? Because the returns there are obviously less reliable, but the ceiling is a lot higher, so to speak.
Do you worry, and I know you lived as we did through the dot-com boom and bust periods.
Yeah.
Do you get a sense or a worry that things are just absolutely too red hot and overinflated, that this is going to go a different direction?
I mean, that's not really what I worry about. I mean, I think there will always be boom and bust cycles. So the only question is how long will this remain a boom? Obviously, we are already past when these cycles generally turn south. So I'm just worried about just the cyclical nature of the economy. I am worried about like when it does turn down. But I think the reason it's going to turn down is not necessarily because there's too much money flowing into venture capital. I think our real existential problem in this country is we have got a lot of people in this country who are going to need jobs over the next, you know, 5, 10, 20 years. People who grew up thinking that they could have a career in manufacturing or a career in an industry that has sort of like left them kind of high and dry a little bit. And I think a lot of the sentiment that you see around middle America is due to the fact that, hey, the opportunity for us here doesn't seem to be as high as it is for, you know, people on the coast who are working in tech.
But Mike, everybody's leaving Silicon Valley and moving to Austin, apparently.
So. Everybody's moving to Austin, but I'm not even worried about those people. Like, that's actually a good thing. Like, all of the tech sort of like spreading out to other areas, that's fine. I'm worried about like, if I don't want to get into tech and I want to be able to feed my family, like what can I do, right? And I look at things like solar panels, right? Like if we wanted to have a federally funded solar panel program, we could have solar panels on every single roof in this country in 10 years, every single one. And those panels don't get up there by themselves. They take people climbing up on the roofs, screwing the panels in, installing them. That is exactly the sort of work that a lot of people in America are qualified to do, right? It's not high-tech work. It's good, honest work. It's good for the environment. It's good for the country. It's good for everything. And like, these are the sorts of things you can do if you're willing to, you know, go big on federal programs. And I think that's what we're going to see in the next several years of the Biden administration.
Thanks again to Mike Davidson for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Industries. And you can listen to our full conversation about social media and politics on the most recent episode of GeekWire in your feed. We'll be back this weekend with a new episode looking at the outlook for tech companies under the Biden administration. And be sure to subscribe to GeekWire's Health Tech Podcast. We'll have a new episode this week exploring the limits of personal privacy through my own experience with Amazon's Halo Health Band. Our podcast is produced and edited by Kurt Milton, and our theme music is by Daniel L.K. Caldwell. For my colleague John Cook, I'm Todd Bishop. Thanks for listening to GeekWire.